This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power listener, you're tuned into Power Business with myself, Sfisos Kenjana, taking a look into the world of business with Power 98.7. And join our in-studio conversation, of course. You can call us on 0861-987-000 and you can WhatsApp us on 083-303-7093. And on Twitter, it's at PowerFM987. Of course, the conversation for this next 30 minutes is really going to be detailing or getting into a particular conversation around what food prices are doing, what is it doing for households, and what is it doing for poverty levels in South Africa, and of course, what does it mean for the ordinary power listener. So joining us for that particular conversation, we've got Mervin Abrahams. He's coming from Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group, and he's the program coordinator there. And we're also joined by Paul Makube, and he's an agricultural economist at First National Bank. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Sifiso. Good evening to Paul.
Good evening to you all. Good evening to your listeners. Thanks for having me.
No, always a pleasure. Mervin, you guys have released a Household Affordability Index. Tell us more about it and what are the insights that are coming out?
So, Sifiso, the Household Affordability Index is constructed by low-income households through focus groups, where we've identified the 44 most important foods that low-income households tell us they wish to purchase. So that's 44 foods we track. We track them in Johannesburg, in places like Soweto, Alexandra, Tembisa, Hillbrow, and then in Durban, in places like KwaMashu, Mlazi, Isipingo, Durban City, and so on. And then, of course, Cape Town as well, in Khayelitsha, Guguletu, Philippi, Langa, and then in Pietermaritzburg, as well as in Springbok in the Northern Cape.
Why not in Sandton?
Because our focus really is on what is happening in the low income and working class households.
100%. and specifically, why 44?
So 44, because 44 provides us with an opportunity to have a pretty good view on the impact of food prices on low income households. Mm. So that's why we go for 44. So Sifiso, what has happened now? So our March index that we released shows that 44 foods now stand at 4,450 rand. That is an increase of 94 rand over February of this year, and a 410 rand and 53 cents increase on March of last year. So that's a 10% year-on-year increase. And we've seen increases in about 33 of the 44 foods. And we've also seen increase in the basket in all the cities where we are tracking it. So food price inflation is spiraling, and it's spiraling right across the country, and it's having a major impact on low-income households.
If the general headline inflation was 5.7% and this is up by 2.2%, are we overstating the word spiraling?
Yeah, because I mean, when we look at SA CPI food inflation, that stands at 6.7%. For some reason, our food inflation always tracks higher than headline inflation.
Sure.
But because of the peculiarities of the South African economy and because of the levels of inequality, inflation is felt most severely by those with the least amount of money, of course, which is low-income and poor households.
Yeah.
And so our food price index is at least 3.7% higher than that of Stats SA.
Sure. Paul, what's happening firstly from a global point of view in terms of food prices? We saw avocado prices soaring to historical highs. What's happening in general there?
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, the situation on the international market is that food prices have also increased. And we have seen this increase even before the Russia-Ukraine conflict began. The main driver has been the logistic issue that affected, availability of certain inputs into agricultural production, but also, limited, movement of commodities across, the continent. Certain consignments reaching the market, despite the fact that from a production perspective, there is sufficient supplies available on the international market. So that's what drove the prices. The other factor, especially in the South America. The La Nina weather pattern, which benefits us in the south, on their side, brought about some challenges during the growth of the crops that limited production and hence prices increased. South America is known for the maize, the soybean production, and also exports of chicken and beef.
Okay, and I'm just going to come back to you right now on specifically where you're seeing which particular, I guess, crops one you're seeing the biggest pressure points. And I want to juxtapose that, and I'm coming back to you, Mervin, on in that 44, which of the goods in there are showing the highest increases that South Africans are consuming, particularly coming out of the lower income households?
So, Sophia, so like I said, 33 of the 44 foods, but let me just go to the most important increases. Mm. So 10 kg of cake flour, for instance, between February and March, so it's month on month, increased by about 7%. Mm. Cooking oil has increased by 3% month on month, and year on year has increased by 37%, which is massive. Mm. Eggs have increased quite a lot over month on month, 5%. Bread has increased by 3%. We're looking at fresh produce, and then things like carrots has spiked massively between February and March of about 14% increase. Butternut by about 12% increase. Two heads of cabbages has increased by about 9%. And onions have remained fairly stable at about 1%. So these are some of the increases on a month to month basis.
Yeah.
And of course these increases are critical, or these foods are critical in terms of putting a plate of food on the table. Sure. Actually.
Paul, do those foods align with what we're seeing from a pressure point in the kind of the general price increases in agricultural products, both globally and locally?
So yes. So it's not surprising that we're beginning to see the effect of wheat. We're importing a lot of wheat, of course, from the Ukraine and Russia. So it's expected that flour and bread will increase. We also import a lot of sunflower. Cooking oil, we expect that to increase. We haven't seen much increases in margarine, but that's probably still coming. The question really is around the fresh produce. Why we're seeing such spikes in some of the fresh produce? That's a question that is not obvious to us. But, it's interesting that the Competition Commission has announced a market research around fresh produce.
And we've got Paul to answer that question. Paul, what's happening? What's happening with the fresh produce?
Well, yeah, with fresh produce, quite a volatile market, that one. Mm. You can easily in 1 month see increases up to 100% in prices of particular fresh produce commodities. Mm. And this is related to in January we had excessive rain that impacted especially vegetables, and therefore impacted on the output of the most of the vegetables. causing supply shortages on the market, and then we saw prices, increasing, especially the big ticket items such as your tomatoes, your potatoes, increasing sharply.
Yeah.
And obviously, those are the big ticket items are consumed, especially in the category of consumers that my colleague is talking about.
Mm.
So that's what we have seen. But that is behind us now, and the situation has normalized a bit, and then we have seen some pressure on the prices of the fresh produce complex, but still at high level.
Sure. Power listener, you are joining a conversation about rising food prices, following, of course, also the release of the Household Affordability Index by the Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group. And we will continue the conversations with the two gentlemen. It's Mervin Abrahams, coming from the Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group. He's a program coordinator, and Paul Makube, an agriculture economist at FNB.
Our business, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Power listener, it is 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. You are tuned into Power Business with myself, Sfiso Skenjana, and we continue taking a look into the world of business with Power 98.7. And we continue with the conversation on, of course, rising food prices. And you can join the in-studio conversation that we're having. Call our in-studio line on 0861-987-000. You can WhatsApp us on 083-303-7093. And you can tweet us at PowerFM987. And as we said, we're continuing with the in-studio conversation on food prices, particularly on the back of the Household Affordability Index that has recently been released. And Mervin, I'm going to come back to you. There's a part in your report that says, because food is bought after money for transport and electricity have been paid for or set aside, we calculate that workers' families will underspend on food by a minimum of 37.2%. What does that actually mean?
So, Sophie, if I could just take your listeners through how we arrive at that figure of 37.2%.
Sure.
So, the national minimum wage, and we know that about 60% of South Africa's workers earn in the region of the national minimum wage, that or a little bit less. And then when we calculate transport to work and back for a worker, then that comes to the region of about 1,408. When we look at electricity costs, that's about 731. And then when we look at a basket, a smaller basket of food of about 3,000, then we arrive at something like 5,231 rand. Now, that's the expenditure. But the income is about 4,081 rand from a national minimum wage, which means that you've got 37.2% too little to actually buy those three household necessities. If I might also say that our research shows that there are four things that households prioritize. So the first thing they prioritize is transport, because they have to get the worker to work and then back, because that's where the money comes in.
Yep.
The second thing they prioritize, of course, is electricity, because they need it for cooking, they need it for security, they need it for the children. The third thing they prioritize is debt servicing, and of course interest rates are going up and all of that kind of stuff. And then the fourth thing is food. So whatever money is left over after those three things have been paid, then they buy food. So when we have massive increases in electricity prices, transport, like we're seeing at the moment, interest rates like we're seeing at the moment, then it has a direct impact on how much food people buy. And that is how we arrive at that households are underspending on their food budget by about 37.2%.
So does that suggest that households are below their minimum calorie intake by 37.2%?
So it suggests a number of things, Sophie. So it suggests, firstly, that most of our households are not eating sufficient and nutritious food. Because what they also do, households also do, is they buy either less food or they buy less nutritious food, which is cheaper. So less nutritious food and too little food. And if you want evidence of that, then you just look at our stunting levels. The health department will tell you that one out of every four boys in South Africa are stunted, which is a direct result of undernutrition. And of course, non-communicable diseases is the main cause of death in South Africa. That's also the result of undernutrition. So it tells us that people are hungry, people are undernourished, and all of that has various health socioeconomic implications for the country.
Paul, to bring you back into the conversation, I mean, of all the what we're hearing, the pressures towards around particular food security, what are we seeing particularly around the crops that inform that, so the wheats, etc., that I guess give us a bit of a baseload from a food security point of view? What are we seeing in terms of trends in that particular basket of crops?
Okay, I think the first one that I will talk about is wheat. Now, as you may be aware, we are a net importer of wheat. Mm. So we produce less than our consumption. Mm. So, but which means we are then open to the vagaries of the global market. So if prices increase on the international market, coupled with a weakening exchange rate, then that's a double whammy on the wheat price. Mm. Domestically, so that our local price will follow that that direction. And obviously, other costs that are associated with marketing and also processing upstream. Also come to into bear and impact on the final product from wheat, which is your mainly your bread. Mm. So until such time that we are sufficiently supplied domestically with wheat from a production perspective, we will still be open to the influence of the prices on the international market. Perhaps fortunately we are edging closer to meeting our requirements, although it's still a little bit of a long way. Mm-hmm. Currently the domestic production is now about going to closer to just about 65% of the local consumption. Mm-hmm. And this is the move from about 50% previously. Mm. As a result of the increase in planted area and production, especially in parts of the Western Cape, that is from the wheat front. On the on the grains, also open to the influence of the prices on the international market, but we produce enough for South Africa and actually even more. Mm. So if you look at for example the recent estimates on maize production, which is your staple, we're expecting about 14.65 million tons of maize, which is now enough to meet our local consumption of about 11.8 million, including exports. And then we have a carryover of closer to about 2 million. So that is sufficient availability on the domestic market. So given the fact that our prices follow developments on the international market, yep, the prices have remained elevated despite the fact that we have sufficient availability on the local market. And also that we have been strong on the export side, especially on the yellow maize side. So from that perspective, we are sufficiently supplied. Sure. And on the horticulture, that is also the case as well, that we produce enough, and hence we are one of the biggest exporters of fruit in particular. Yes. Mm.
Let's take a quick call from Randfontein Safudi.
Sfiso and your guest.
Yes, sir.
You know, we are drowning. I'm just bringing it home to 350 rand in such situation. How are those people coping? And traveling, even those who are working, salaries have been kept. We are told we should discourage inflation, but the rising foodstuffs are inflationary. They add into the inflation.
What must we do? What must we do differently?
You know, we used to have the meat board, wheat board, and the government must intervene and subsidize some of the foodstuffs and raise this social payment, because you can't continue to give people 350 in such situations. You are playing marbles, because people are not coping. We are not coping. And this eventually may lead to a social revolution, because really, look at the Middle East. That's where the revolution was
placed. Sefudi is saying we mustn't play marbles with people's stomachs, and we definitely must look at interventions that bring back the wheat boards, the animal boards, and all of the other extension services from an agricultural point of view. And just on those comments, Paul, any closing comments? And then Mervin will close with you as well.
Yeah. The issue of the of those marketing boards, has been brought about, previously. Mm. But if you recall the deregulation of agricultural markets, if you compare production prior to that period and currently, you'll realize that actually the South African agricultural space has actually benefited from deregulation. So in terms of the current situation, it's not actually a production issue, it's the accessibility issue. So even when prices increase, there is a concomitant response from producers in terms of the next cycle increasing production. So if you look at the availability of produce, except for the drought situation, South Africa's production has been, relatively elevated, and has been increased actually substantially relative to the, previous periods of the marketing board. There are pros and cons of those arrangements,
sure.
But I think we have benefited from the current situation. In terms of deregulation of agricultural market.
Happiness. Happiness.
One,
thanks,
one does not say
second,
we must not. Yeah, thanks.
We'll go for quick news update, and then Mervin will take two more callers and we'll take your closing remarks. Thank you very much.
Good evening. In stories making headlines, the Finance Minister, Enoch Godongwana, has announced the general fuel levy will be cut by 1.50 rand per litre from Wednesday next week to the 31st of May 2022. This will reduce the levy for petrol from 3.85 rand per litre to 2.35 rand per litre. The levy on diesel will be reduced from 3.70 rand per litre to 2.20 rand per litre. Around 6 billion rand of the state's strategic oil reserves will be sold to fund this tax hit, which means it won't impact government debt. Now, Godongwana tabled the following reductions earlier.
I hereby table the following proposal, which will be included in the 2022 rates and monetary amounts and amendments of revenue laws bill for consideration by this House. A temporary reduction of the general fuel levy for 1.50 rand per litre.
The grace period for driving licenses has been further extended for a period ending on the 15th of April. The 15-day grace period has been published in the Government Gazette. And the ANC in Mpumalanga says it is ready to go for its elective conference starting tomorrow. More details to follow in the news at 8 with Nomo Sazwane.
Bigger and stronger. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
It is 34 minutes after 7 o'clock. Power listener, you're tuned into Power Business with myself, Sifiso Skenjana, and we continue taking a look into the world of business Power 98.7. Join our in-studio conversation on 0861-987-000. On WhatsApp, it's 083-303-7093. And tweet us at PowerFM987. We continue our conversation on rising food prices, and we're going to take Sizwe from Centurion to give us some solutions on these food problems that we're currently facing. Sizwe?
Hello. Thank you, host. Thank you very much for accepting my call. And I hope listeners and you too will remember this input that I make today. It might come in relevant in the near future.
We're listening.
So, yes, sir. So what I'm thinking here, from the very first moment when the inflation began, especially due to the conflict which is going in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine, which has impacted our prices. So for me, I think instead of seeing the gloom, I see a brighter side. The brighter side is that what is it that we differently can do differently? For me, first and foremost, is that I think it is high time that the country also considers what other countries are considering and following suit. That is trying to trade independently, not to discard, but independently from the petrodollar system. Because as it is, the conflict has nothing to do with those who are selling oil to us.
But if you're importing, from, and the goods that you're importing are in dollars, what do you do?
Yes, thank you. That is where I'm coming, my brother. So other countries are ditching the petrodollar system so that they can be able to trade in their own currencies. They will consider it when trading with other countries, particularly in EU, maybe US. So in this case, our country is supposed, as far as I believe right now, we are supposed to be now trying to get a much more closer ties with oil-producing countries, and we are supposed to increase our refinery apparatus, which means now we should not be just buying oil as end users, but we should be buying crude oil in bulk, and then we do.
But that comes in dollars. Ourselves. That comes in dollars. But I'll let Paul, who's the economist, close that particular point on us. But before we get to you, Paul and Mervin, Smusiso from Rivonia.
Hi, Smusiso. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Good. Thank you. Mine is very quick and simple. Just to agree with Marvin. I mean, I agree 100%. Myself, I've observed that households are spending less on food, including myself. I'm part of those people who spend quite less on food, and I realize now that if you look at, for example, if you look at your bank statement after you've made transactions, you realize that on food you're actually spending less. But the solution to that, what I did myself, I decided to open a garden and cut away all my flowers and start to plant things like potatoes, like carrots, and to sort of boost the nutrition that I have in my house. I think if we can go that way, and yes, there are people who love flowers, which we can take away from them, but we need to have that mentality of starting to be to plant ourselves instead of
roses for the potatoes. Mervin?
Exactly.
Mervin?
Yes. No. I fully agree with your caller. We must all try and do what we can to increase the level of nutrition and cut back on the amount of food we have to buy. But Sofisa, we while that is possible for some, and we encourage it where it's possible, we also have to realize that actually historically in South Africa, wages are extremely low. And wages are not keeping trend with the rising cost of basic essentials. So we've got to find a way around that. It's a structural issue in our economy, and unless we can find a way in which workers are going to be paid at a level that they can afford basic necessities, we are always going to have a crisis.
Perfect. And Paul, they're saying that we must ditch the dollar and we must trade in our own currency. What do you say?
A very small player on the world market is going to be a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
If they have ways such as China and Russia struggle to do that, It's going to be an uphill battle for a small country such as ourselves. Yeah, perhaps the last point that I wanted to make with regard to, you know, that question of the you know, the deregulation of the marketing board. If you look at the production currently, you know, the efficiencies that have been brought about following the deregulation. For example, the planted area of maize was almost half. But if you look at the yields that came about, it's about 64% increase in yields, and that you know, it tells you about the efficiencies that are brought about by the open market system, and you know, producing almost the same you know, the more out of the small space. Area that is being planted,
smaller space.
So and if you look at the number of farmers as well, we have seen a lot of consolidation, which means more, you know, farmers getting a little bit bigger and production, you know, increasing.
Thank you.
I think that our challenge is here is that we have, you know, food sufficiency, but getting it to the consumer is a challenge. Access to the to food is a challenge, and I think perhaps that's where our efforts should be.
And let's close it there, Power Listener.
Yeah.
That was Paul Makube, agricultural economist at First National Bank. And that was Mervin Abrahams from the Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group. He is the program coordinator there, unpacking you know, the price increases that we've seen from 44 food items in the basket, particularly looking at lower earning households in South Africa. Power Listener.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.